This is Jim Fetzer, your host on Authentic News on this 9th day of November 2023, taking your calls. We got Peter in L.A. Peter, join us. Your thoughts.
Jim, I've got two things I want to talk about. And the first one is, you mentioned earlier about the Israeli nuclear weapons and their policy of ambiguity and all that. Well, that was completely blown out of the water when South Africa, when the ANC took over South Africa, and it turned out that Israel aided and abetted South Africa's acquisition of a nuclear weapon, and then they blew one off in the Indian Ocean. That was in 1979, when the ANC took over from the Afrikaner government. All that paperwork became public. Not only did Israel cooperate with the technology and nuclear materials, but they tried also to sell nuclear materials to other people as well. As a matter of fact, there has been some connections that people have brought up with North Korea, their nuclear program in Israel. Further, I want to talk about, along with the nuclear, the NUMEC project in Pennsylvania. A company owned by Jews, American Jews, who they lost track of something like 500 pounds of enriched uranium, and enough to make multiple bombs, and then, by the way, left a really horribly dirty nuclear garbage dump when they finally closed the plant down. And it cost, like, the state of Pennsylvania multiple $1 billion to clean it up. So the American taxpayer had to take care of that, as well as having a nuclear material, weapons material, stolen from us and given to the Israelis. Then there's the Kryton spy ring with Arnon Milchan, the Hollywood producer, and Bibi Netanyahu himself, who were stealing high-tech electronic nuclear triggers that are required to detonate a nuclear bomb. And Netanyahu himself was involved in the espionage and the transfer, as does Arnon Milchan, the billionaire Hollywood producer who brags about it in his diary, by the way. So in his biography or whatever, he's actually publicly bragged about it. Then I want to one more thing I want to bring up, and that is there have been several nuclear spies. Almost all of them have been Jewish, from Klaus Fuchs to David Greenglass and the Rosenbergs and all those people who initially gave all that technology, the atomic technology, to the Russians, were all Jews. Oppenheimer, there's quite a bit of evidence to think that Oppenheimer was involved in that as well, another Jewish guy. They've called this a trope all the time. The trope that they say is a trope is that dual loyalty. There's no such dual thing as dual loyalty, and anybody says so is a dirty Jew hater who wants us to go to Auschwitz. Well, let me just point out, Netanyahu himself was born in Pennsylvania. He was an American citizen. He had a choice of being an American or leaving America and going to Israel. And what did he choose? Well, he chose Israel. And then there's Golda Meir. You know where she's from? Milwaukee. And she was living in Milwaukee and was, an elementary teacher or something. And she eschewed and turned her back on the United States in order to pursue her Zionist Jewish dream above her American citizenship. This is no trope. This is the way they do business. So, anyways, that's my comment for today.
Oh, Peter, those are very appropriate comments. Do you have a final thought to add?
Yeah. I get tired of them controlling what words you can use. Like, I have a somebody that I work with today use the word Gaza. I work part-time I'm retired at an elementary school. Use the word Gaza in a conversation out loud, just the word Gaza. And some sensitive, overly sensitive Jewish parent told the principal, and he got read off for using the word Gaza. Like, it's like you can't say Gaza now. They don't want to hear about, they'll certainly hear about Holocaust. They certainly, and if you say, for instance, genocide or apartheid or ethnic cleansing, I'm sure they want to hear, don't want to hear that either. But what are they controlling, everything that we say? And the answer to that is yes, they control everything that we say. Anyways, Peter, that's it for me, Jim.
Peter, those are all excellent comments, spot on. David in Massachusetts, join us, David.
Director Fetzer, you can hear me okay?
I can, David. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, Director Fetzer, you know, speaking of Qasem Soleimani, the victim of Donald Trump's cowardly drone attack on that peacemaker. He was like Iran's Rudolf Hess. He was on a peace mission, just like Rudolf Hess was on a peace mission when he got shot down, when he bailed out over Scotland. But be that as it may, the reason I called is, and Layla will probably know a lot about this, but you know his name is very rich in meaning. Soleimani, in the ancient language, Persian and Azerbaijan, and you can Google and do a search on it. And in the ancient language, it means the seat of the wisdom of Solomon. The seat of the wisdom of Solomon, Soleimani. And you know one of the most famous Buddhist temples, in fact, maybe the most famous Buddhist temple in the world is named the Soleimani Buddhist Temple. And I'm not suggesting that General Soleimani was a Buddhist, but however he took his name, as far as I know, he was a Shiite Muslim like other Iranian Muslims and everything. But his name is very rich in meaning, and I don't think many people are aware of it. But I like that it actually means in the ancient language the seat of the wisdom of Solomon. Soleimani.
I like that. I like that, yeah. David. I like that a lot. I was huge fan of Soleimani. I mean, he was not only a first-rate military thinker, he was also a statesman. He was lured to the Iraqi airport on a peace mission by the Trump administration. He was supposed to be negotiating something on behalf of the Department of State who set him up to take him out with a drone attack. It was a despicable act. And I have no doubt it was initiated by Bibi Netanyahu, who wanted to strike down Soleimani after Hamas, after Hezbollah had defeated the Israeli army in Lebanon. I believe Soleimani made valuable contributions to that defeat, and it pissed off Netanyahu. And in his typical fashion, he wants to strike back in a vicious, inhumane manner. And Trump, and as I say, I can't forgive him for this. Trump went along with it. That was an absolutely outrageous and despicable act. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, those Zionists like Netanyahu, they're scared to death that peace is going to break out. Their whole career. And they get all their power and self-aggrandizement and megalomaniacal power from war and violence. That's where they get all their power. They're scared to death that peace is going to break out. You know. But anyway, and then that. Oh, I tried calling in to listen to you and Layla yesterday on the number that you gave out, but I didn't get through.
David, it'll be posted on my BitChute channel later today. It was available as of 4 a.m., but it slipped my mind to get it up already, but I will take care of that, and I will announce it when it's up there, but that's where you'll be able to find it. If you put in BitChute channel Jim Fetzer, you'll be able to find it, and as I say, It will be up tonight. Have no doubt about it. David, a final thought.
Oh, just I heard a couple of callers that did listen to it and they thought rave reviews. They said Layla was in fine form. Hey, you know my final thought. You know my final thought, Director Fetzer, is for what it's worth. When I was a schoolboy, okay, in one of the classes, and I still remember the girl's name, but she was the smartest student in the class. For what it's worth, her name, I have a total recall memory. I don't forget anything. Her name was Lillian Dabrowski, and she was the smartest girl in class, okay? She was the smartest student, not the smartest girl, she was the smartest student, including all the boys. And there was this one boy that couldn't live with the fact that the smartest student in the class, the smartest student, was a girl. And he used to torment this girl. He just would never let up on this girl. He had such a resentment, and it was such a blow, evidently, to his male ego. He just couldn't live with the fact. This was a kid. He couldn't live with the fact that the smartest student in the class was a girl, not a boy. And it kind of reminds me of this, and it goes back to even the previous host of the What Really Happened. This goes way back, this antagonism between Miles of Maine and Layla. It goes all the way back to when Layla first started calling in on the show What Really Happened, back when Trump was running for re-election and everything. And this antagonism is the best. But I can't help but think of that. I don't have, my male ego doesn't have any problem at all acknowledging that Layla is the smartest, most knowledgeable caller. With the exception possibly of yourself, Director Fetzer, but I'm almost inclined to think that you'll concede that Layla even maybe is one up on you. I mean, and I think that's just a resentment that they could. So there's a certain type of male, that can't live with the fact that the girl is the smartest student in the class.
Yeah, well, I like people who are very smart and know things I don't know because I can learn from them, David. And this was just a splendid call, my friend. Thank you very much, David. Excellent, excellent. Laura in Michigan. Laura, join the conversation.
Mr. Fetzer, never trusted Homeland Security. And I'll tell you why. My late father-in-law, he graduated from University of Detroit, which was a Jesuit university. And I would get his mail at my house after he passed. And one time it was an alumni magazine, and it said, Homeland Security Issue. And I thought, well, I'm going to look at this and read it. What's going on with this? What does it have to do with University of Detroit? Well, it turns out Homeland Security almost exclusively recruits from Jesuit schools.
Really? I did not know that. I had no idea.
If you read the Jesuit oath, you would not trust them.
That's fascinating. Well, I don't trust them. The whole idea of creating Homeland Security was a bad idea. That was a Patriot Act. Dick Cheney is responsible. It was modeled after the East German Stasi, widely regarded as the most efficient private security police state entity ever to exist, and we modeled our own DHS after them. Laura, it's just appalling what happened here, and I dare say Dick Cheney had a hell of a lot to do with this.
Oh, yeah. I think that we're not going to win any elections unless we go to some civil disobedience. And what I was suggesting is we need a sledgehammer rebellion. And a sledgehammer, we need to smash all those Dominion machines. Sledgehammer rebellion. Does that sound good?
There's something to be said for that, Laura. Your final thought today?
Just my final thought is we've got to do something because look what happened to all these elections.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. The Democrats should be losing virtually every single vote. I get it about abortion places here and there, but on the whole, they should be going down big time. Because the reality is the state of the nation is appalling. Over 70% of Democrats don't even think Biden should run again. Thanks for a very nice call, Laura. Meanwhile, Dan in Washington. Dan, join the conversation.
Yeah, I got to kind of got triggered with Keith Richards when he calls in and compares to Indians in a field sleeping in a car to babies getting napalm dropped on them and whole neighborhoods in Gaza. You know, so he always has to bring the demoralization, this talking point that America was stolen from the Indians. We stole the land from the Indians. And a lot of Jews like Bill Maher, basically, I've been hearing a lot of Jews saying the same thing, and they do that intentionally to shut up white liberals or peace activists. So you feel guilty about the Indians, so you're not going to say anything about Israel. So that's an intentional plan. So when people call in, like Keith, and sit there and say, oh, we stole it from the Indians, which is nonsense, you shouldn't go along with it.
I think you mean Keith Rogers. You said Richard,
who, of course,
played with the Rolling Stones. Yeah,
right,
Keith
right.
Rogers hasn't quite ascended to that level of fame, but I find him a very responsible guy. I understand you're taking exception. Give us a final thought, Dan.
Well, it's an important topic because, you know, the way that you mentioned these Jews that have these peace movements, you know, and you respect them. It's not all Jews. But what they're also known for doing is subverting and taking over all these groups. And then they'll turn the peace group into an anti-white kind of woke group that attacks white men. And that's pretty much all they do, like Code Pink, right? Code Pink is a good example. Why would you name a peace movement Code Pink? Other than you want white guys to think only fags would be part of that group. And that's why that Ray McGovern called it Code Pink. So he's trying to destroy the peace movement. You know what I'm saying? To destroy a movement, you lead it to its own destruction. And they do that a lot. But definitely, you know, when people push this anti-white propaganda that actually leads to violence against white children, it leads to white genocide, because all these other groups sit here and come to America and say, well, you stole it from the Indians, white man, you know. And number you brought up, it's when you talk about 15 to 20 million Native Americans, you're talking about all of North and South America. So they say in the United States and Canada, there was about 2 million Native Americans is what they estimate. So that's the population of Gaza. So look at the landmass of North America to Gaza.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me it's the same thing, dude.
Right.
It's just
Gaza's
stupid.
About 25 miles long and 5 miles deep. It's ridiculous. 2.3 or 4 million people packed in that little area. And it being subjected to massive bombing now.
And we got Indian reservations that are bigger. You know, if you add up all the land that the Indians got, it's much better than Israel itself. So, you know, and as far as South America, the Mexicans you see are mostly part Indian. So it's a talking point that they do to demoralize people. But anyway, thanks for taking the call.
Thank you for your call. We'll be right back after this break.
When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, and I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I've changed my mind and opened up the doors. Help me.
Einstein once said, future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies. What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less valuable its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because of the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Where do they all belong?
Well, I'm very pleased to welcome Lila back to the show. Your thoughts today, Lila. Lila. Are you there?
Dr. Fetzer?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is John in Colorado.
John, it should have been Lila, but go ahead, John, while we track her down. Go ahead, John. Go ahead.
Anyway.
Go ahead.
Yeah, good show. I love listening to all what you had. I didn't get on the first part of your show if you commented on the elections on Tuesday.
Yeah. Yes.
And we had
I'm suggesting, with a few exceptions here and there, and perhaps in relation to abortion, Democrats ought to be losing, you know, widely. To me, it suggests that they're still manipulating the outcome of these elections. That's my take, but I'm open, you know, to rebuttals. Your further thoughts, John?
Well, I don't know if it, you know, this is 23. There was no, this wasn't a congressional candidate election,
yeah.
Was it?
True.
Okay. So all of the stuff was local and propositions and all that. And I was a little amiss. I've been behind. I don't know what the final outfit. One of the biggest things in my area was the local school boards, which is the last time they were under conservative control, Republican, I don't care. Just they were under conservative control, which is was a good news. And what the candidates happened, I don't know. I have to check on that. But, yeah. It's going back, as you said, the same thing. What's going to happen? Because you got next year's general with everything involved, and then what's going to happen if they're going to go again with cheating and stealing again. And as I said before, they've got to go back to paper ballots. That way. They can't go to the voting machines anymore. There's no guarantee.
For the sake of the nation, John, for the sake of the nation. We had a very cleverly designed constitution with periodic elections allowing for reform, peaceful reform, and the Democrats have mucked it up to stay in power, and their policies are so bad they're destroying the country, and they won't let the citizen vote their own opinion, even though the citizens are being affected profoundly by their policies. They won't allow the public to change.
Yeah, that's the problem. And like I said, it's still not enough people. You hear them, and I think they really still don't have a clue what's going on. And it comes down, as I said before, when something affects them and they get hungry, then they may rise up. You still don't know how desperate it has to be that they'll make a noise. So,
yeah.
But, those kind of things are, you know, you think about that, we'll find out. Like I said, it looks like there are changes. You hear things about it, and you're with the local Republicans. I didn't hear anything from Mike Johnson lately about it, or any of the top Republican leaders, I think, as you said. They're compromised, most of them, even the leadership. And some of the local people I saw last year speaking, new people for the local party, they're looking to try to change things, but it's hard to tell what's going on. But anyway, I was going to say,
until we go back to paper ballots and hand counts, I'm afraid the Republic is lost. The Democrats are stealing election right and left, and they're not going to stop. There's got to be a way of changing this and fixing it, but you're not going to get any help from the Democrat Party from A to Z. Shocking stuff. John, your final thought.
Well, back in California for almost 10 years, I worked as a poll worker, and I saw how that was. And of course, you know, you get the ballots in the machine, and you take the machine down to a secret place where they count them, supposedly, or send it to the central, and that's it. So you don't know what happens from there. You can't see what happens or what they put, what they add or subtract or whatever. But that kind of stuff is really interesting. One last thing, and I'll get out of this. I went today, my two youngest grandchildren, I went to their school where they had a big celebration for veterans. It was really nice. Went to the classroom, got to talk to them, ask questions they wanted to ask me. And then we had a big parade down the big center of the main hall, and all the kids out there waving flags and saying thank you and all that. It was really emotional. But I looked at them going down through that hall and looking off and with the faces, and you're talking about 5, 6, 7, 8, 9-year-olds there. You think about when they get of age, are they going to get thrown in the cauldron? Makes you feel sorry for that.
Yes.
Anyway,
yes. Well, they're going to try a mass subscription to support genocide by Israel. I say a hell with that. No, do not comply. John, thanks for a very nice call. Much appreciated.
Happy Veterans Day to y'all.
Thank you so much. We'll be right back.
Here comes the sun, and I say it's all right.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC,
417-932-6419. Here come old Flat Top. He come grooving up slowly.
Well, it's my pleasure to welcome Lila back to the show. Your thoughts today, Lila?
Yes, hi, Jim. First, I'd like to thank David for his very kind comments. But in all honest humility, I'm only one of many very well-informed, intelligent, brilliant hosts and callers at RBN. So thank you, Dave. And you, in fact, have introduced a very interesting subject that reveals your knowledge. My mother's family, for example, has the name Suleiman or Suleiman and Salama, variations on the Solomon, the son of King David. And as we, many of us may recall from reading the Old Testament, is that the mother of Solomon was a Hittite, not a Judean. David in, and King David himself, his grandmother was a Moabite. So the line of King David and Solomon were not pure so-called Jewish or Hebrew. They were a combination of the peoples of Canaan. And as I've always said, it was a heterogeneous culture with many tribes. But the thing I'd also like to discuss is what's happening with the Jews in America that were demonstrating against Israel. First, that takes a lot of courage for many of them, because Israel does not look kindly upon Jews opposing any of their practices or policies. There might be an element of self-defense there, their fear of blowback against them because of the hostility towards Israel. But for many of them, I believe it was a sincere concern for humanitarian principles and empathy, and I admire them for that. So I regret that I was a little harsh in a comment I made earlier. It's really out of character in the way I view peaceful Jews and their relationship with Muslims. And that takes me to another important comment. I often hear the word crypto-Jew, and it was most recently applied with regard to the Saudi royal family. In Saudi Arabia, the primary sect of Islam is Wahhabism, and that is a very militant sect. However, the important thing to understand, and this is what many people don't understand about Islam, Islam never pretended to displace or negate Judaism or Christianity. Most religions, the prophet always said, God revealed his message progressively to different peoples in ways that they would understand, and in the times in which their prophet would be able to introduce the subject of God and moral behavior within their social and cultural context. So when Muhammad introduced Islam, he always said the Jews or Judaism, the Christians, are all people of the book, and we are only the latest, Muhammad is only the latest manifestation that is bringing the message from God. So Islam is really an all-encompassing religion, or that's the way it presents itself. Now, I'm not an expert on Islam. This is just what I've heard Muslims teaching their children, that Islam respects and reveres Judaism in its pure religious form, not its aggressive murderous form. They respect Christianity in its divine form, not in, because Christianity, too, has been very cruel to many people and very brutal in different times of its history, and that Islam is simply the same message but applied to the people of the time when Muhammad brought his message. So let's be more cautious about who we accuse of being a crypto-Jew. Unless we personally have viewed somebody stomping on a Bible or stomping on a Old Testament, on an Old Testament, and claiming and then practicing or practicing strictly Judaistic rituals, we do not know. Anything we read in newspapers, often we don't know the name of the author, we don't know the motivations and the biases and the intent of the author. So let's be cautious. We're here. I mingle freely with Muslims and Jews and Christians all my life, and I am a proud Christian. But I would not dare to presume to know what somebody else is thinking in their private moments or practicing in their private moments. All I know is that in Islam, Wahhabism is a form of the most aggressive form of Islam. And there are many. There's the Sunni, there's the Shia, and Bashar al-Assad is an Alawite, very moderate. That's why the Christians view him with great respect, because Alawite is closer to Christianity than many of the others. There are similarities all across. The point is, it's one God. And that's the idea, I think, of most religions that we know of. They are all saying there is one God, and we are... Another prophet was Baha'u'llah. Now, the Muslims don't accept him, but he came after Muhammad in Persia, and he taught that humanity, there is a branch, God is a branch of the trunk of the tree, and humanity is many branches, and each branch has many leaves, and we are still all one people of the same tree and its trunk. So all of the prophets who are with good open hearts and love of humanity seem to teach the same thing. It's just how people end up distorting the message.
Well, I think these are very profound points. I would say, however, that it appears there's this virulent version of Judaism that has nothing but contempt for Christians and would even have them all be killed because they're not Jews. I mean, it's very, very bad. I agree with you completely that all religions ought to be open and respectful of all other religions. And I like the idea of all having the same God. Obviously, there are multiple variations. There is polytheism, pantheism, a whole host of variations on religious themes.
I'm talking about
You're talking about You're talking,
I'm talking about
the
monotheistic religion.
Yes, Judaism and Islam. And so far as I can see, it's this perverted version of Judaism that really is sadistic and antagonistic and violent.
Forgive me.
The eradication of Christians, and I suspect Muslims too. Your thoughts?
Well, I think what we're looking at today is Zionism, not Judaism. I think that's the mistake.
Right.
They have used Judaism as a smokescreen, as a cover, to give them some divine, superficial cosmetic appeal. The point is, these are not, they are not practicing the peaceful nature, which is inherent in the original teachings of, now I know there were some extreme cases such as the reference to Amalek and whatever, but we don't know how much of that has been altered through translations, through scribes that distorted it and implanted their own bias.
Yeah.
But in their purest form, there is, they all say there's only one God. And those who follow other gods, we know they're not a part of this. And that's why in Islam, they say they are people of the book, meaning the Old Testament and the New Testament. So that's what Islam means when they say that the Jews and Christians, the pure in their purest form, are people of the book. But you're right. In the early, when the first Christians were killed by Jews because they considered Christianity to be an abomination of the teaching because Jesus was supposedly the Son of God, and the Jews could not accept that. So there were Jews. You look at Alexandria, the history of Alexandria, where Jews and Christians live close together. They were constantly killing each other. And
this is absolutely wonderful, and I'm eager to get your conversation with me of yesterday up as soon as I can. Give us a final thought for today.
A final thought is that I regret I did not give more context to my talk. For those who don't follow Gaza as closely as I do, I should have had an introductory concept, but I felt as though I was just speaking to RBN listeners, and it won't be entirely RBN listeners. So I hope people learn something or are able to relate to what I have to say. And thank you, Jim, for that opportunity.
I don't think anyone's going to hold anything against you, Lila. You're doing a great job here, and I can't thank you enough for another wonderful call. James in Charlotte, North. Thank you, Lila. James in North Carolina, join the conversation, James. Oh, we lost James. Okay, Kathleen in Texas. Kathleen, join the conversation.
Hey, Jim. I'm looking forward to hearing your interview tomorrow on Revolution Radio. And I just wanted to ask, what is the time for that? Is it Pacific Standard Time or...
It's 11 to 1 Central, noon to 2 Eastern. 11 to 1 Central, noon
to
2
1
Eastern.
Central. Okay, great.
Yeah.
And then...
I've got Revolution Radio Studio B, and I put actually the listen link there, you know, in the notes for yesterday, so you can find them there if you have the number.
I have the number.
Good.
Thank you.
Anything else you...
Yes,
anything else you'd like?
I wanted to say human beings are the only ones who doubt that conception, that life begins at conception for convenience to allow murder. And if you talk to any animal husbandry, maybe a stud service or anything, they know exactly when life begins, and it just breaks my heart to hear people say that for some reason it's okay to murder a human being because and you can describe the time of life beginning at a different time for convenience. And and then one last thing, Dr. Lorraine Day, I hope she's still hanging in there. And they say she's on death's door. Well, she's been on death's door before, so I'm hoping she makes it. But one thing she says in her book, the deliberate, I mean, the who rewrote the Bible. She says that a war is corporate murder. And I think that is so perfect, you know,
yes.
especially celebrating.
Yes.
I understand yes. about Veterans Day and so on, but I think we need to address that war is corporate murder, and there's no yes. no way we've been tricked into every war. So anyway,
yes.
Thank you so much for everything, and I really, again, appreciate you having the listen lines. So thank you, Jim.
Excellent. Excellent. Kathleen, excellent call. As a philosopher, of course, I pay a lot of attention to language. Technically, murder is the deliberate and illegal killing of a person. So in my judgment, it's not when life begins. Of course, life begins at conception. I would agree with that. No rational person, I think, would deny it. It's when does personhood, which is achieving the status of development deserving of certain special legal and moral and social rights, comes into play, which, as I interpret the Supreme Court, it decided occurred at the time of viability at the end of the second month, when the fetus can exist independent of the uterine environment. It turns out not to be a function of brain or heart development, but lung development. So that I'm inclined to think that Roe was properly decided, that prior to that, we're not dealing with a person. But of course, after that, it's illegal to take the life of a fetus for any reason other than save the life or health of the mother. We can extend the discussion, of course, and it'll pop up intermittently. I just want to make the key point that if the developing entity is not yet a person, or if what's going on, even though it's deliberate killing, it's legal, it's not murder. That's just a clarification of the language here, because it's so often couched differently. Patrick in Wisconsin. Patrick, join the conversation, Patrick. Oh, we lost Patrick. We got anyone standing by, Mike? We have Paul. Okay, I didn't see his name there. Paul, join the conversation. Paul, go ahead. Join the conversation, Paul.
Yeah, Professor, got two things to talk about. Number one, our church newspaper has been trying to do some analysis of why these Democrats have been winning the elections recently, including Tuesday.
Yeah.
And they have discovered another block of voters that wasn't previously known that were voting Democrat. Originally, you had regular Democratic voters, you know, the registered ones, and then you had the gay rights voter who was voting liberal Democrat. And then you had the college students who were voting liberal Democrat because they wanted Biden to cancel their student loan debt. But there's
yeah.
a fourth block of voters with a documented membership of at least 9 million and growing very rapidly. And this other block of voters has a name, and they call themselves Catholics for Choice. And
really?
Yes.
I thought you were going to say it was going to be migrants. I thought you were saying it was going to be
no.
migrants who are being allowed to vote illegally. Go ahead.
And they're called Catholics for Choice. And they have a sympathy for abortion, and they have sympathy for gay rights and other liberal issues. But their membership is growing very rapidly, and they've just recently been discovered as a block of voters. And the other issue I wanted to talk about is from what a previous caller called in. Now, in my Bible, I read that King Solomon's mother was Bathsheba. Some call her named Bersabe, but she was a Jew from the tribe of Dan. So that's what my Bible says. So yeah. I don't know the information that the other caller had, but have you heard that yourself?
No, Bathsheba, of course, but I'm no biblical expert, far from it, but I'm glad you make the point. Of course, there's more than one version of the Bible in the Scofield, which I take it Dr. Day deplores. Appears to be a version that was rewritten from a Zionist point of view. So it's good to be aware that there is more than one version out there, and you cannot take for granted the text of a specific version. You need to know a little more about it. So I think you're raising very legitimate and appropriate points, Paul.
Okay. What do you think about that fourth block of voters there, those Catholics for Choice?
I'm fascinated. No, not at all. No, I'm fascinated by it. And
analysts claim that they think that's what's putting Democrats over on the winning side is this fourth block of voters, and they're growing very rapidly. So I thought I'd just throw that out there, and that's my final thought. So
okay. Thank you, Paul. Thank you very much. I see we have Francis from North Carolina back. Francis, join the conversation.
Hey, young man.
Yeah.
To you and yours and everyone, a fun weekend for that matter to start off with. And I have a rhetorical question. Exactly what is Fatherland Security supposed to be, or what they call Homeland Security supposed to be at, about?
What do you mean? What do you mean, Francis?
Well, they're supposed to encompass so much as far as the federal government goes, as far as the U.S. is concerned. But the question is, what areas are they supposed to be covering or not covering?
Well, we'd have to look at the legislation. It was a consolidation of what had heretofore been 35 different separate agencies, some of which were competing with in order to gather intelligence, which is a very successful way, modus operandi, to have multiple groups conducting independent research is the best way of ferreting out the truth when you have a monolithic single point of view, as we now have with DHS. We actually are far more subject to propaganda, misinterpretation, being misled and deceived than we have multiple independents. So I think the creation of Homeland Security was a huge blunder. And, of course, it was all set up and motivated by 9/11. And when some congressmen, you may think back, wanted to hold hearings about what this thing was all about, they were hit with the anthrax attacks. You may remember. It was very bad. That's muscling it through. Muscling.
It was really pathetic, yes. The reason why I question about the purpose of or the encompassing arena that they have control over basically tells me how much they shoot themselves in the foot with hypocrisy, especially when they deal with the aspect of making sure that the voting process is legitimate and so forth at nauseam, which is completely hypocritical given that they encompass so many areas and yet they cover absolutely nothing, legitimately speaking.
Yes.
So I find that the fact that they were put into office or placed officially just before 9/11 and basically before the anthrax BS went off and everything else. It kind of reminds me of the current scenario with the corona bug. You must get your shots jabbed.
Yes.
And so
Francis,
forth.
A final thought, Francis?
Well, a big pina colada for the folks in Gaza. As for me, a non-rainbow green olive with my margarita choice of flavor. Have a fun weekend.
Thanks for the call, Francis. Reese, you're up. Reese in New York. Join the conversation, Reese.
All right, Jim. I see I got bumped back again. It's the third time I got bumped back when I was a caller. But I'll just cut it short.
I don't sequence the callers, Reese, and I didn't bump you back. Just go ahead. Give us your thoughts.
Your call screener said I was next up, and then Francis got in. But in any case, it doesn't
Well,
really
Francis had been dropped inadvertently and got put back in because she got lost.
All right.
What happened.
Jim,
Go ahead.
If it wasn't the third time, I wouldn't mention it. But, you know, you said about Layla that you enjoy, you know, because she does have a lot of knowledge of history. And I enjoy hearing her commentary. One thing I would like to ask her, because I have a pretty extensive knowledge of, you know, the Bible, the Old Testament as well, is where did she get that King David descended through Canaanites or Hittites? Because if that was the case, then Jesus could not be the biblical Messiah. He had to come through a pure bloodline. And if you, you know, look into the, you know, religious leaders of Jesus' day, they kept meticulous records so that they would know if someone claimed to be the Messiah if their bloodline was pure. So I'd like to hear where that was from. I've never heard anyone, you know, make that claim before. But just as a minor point, I want to say this. The occult, you have a lot of callers that probably see what's going on now. Through my lens of the occult protocol, of, you know, Zion, the New World Order conspiracy, I understand it. Jim, J. Edgar Hoover, here's what he said. This was in 1956. The individual is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous he could not believe it exists. The American mind simply has not come to a realization of the evil which has been introduced into our midst. It rejects even the assumption that human creatures could espouse a philosophy which must ultimately destroy all, not just some, all that is good and decent. I know what he meant. J. Edgar Hoover, through over 30 years of being the director of the FBI, knew exactly the evil that was at work, and he probably knew a lot about these human sacrifices, which started with the Black Dahlia. I believe that was 1943 in Hollywood, where they dismembered a woman in a satanic ritual, Hollywood elite, that is. So I understand some of that. I'm trying to share that with the audience, but I can't do it in a minute or two. I would like to say this, that there's a lot of deceptions out there. Jordan Maxwell and Eric Phelps, I challenged both of them repeatedly to a debate. Once when I was on I used to broadcast out of Boston, and through Jeff Rentz. Jordan Maxwell have never accepted it. I would like to, maybe next time I call in, debunk some of the nonsense that I hear from these two
surveyors. Call in earlier, Reese. Meanwhile, everyone out there, spend as much time with your family, your friends, the people you love and care about. We do not know how much time we have left. And Alex from France, thank you so much for the Petersons. Here Comes the Sun. Wonderful.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.